Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. It's Thursday, October 26, 2017. Just a few days to Halloween, David.
Wow, unbelievable. I can't believe how quickly this year is going.
I know, it just flies.
Like
we were talking about that before the show, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're both a lot more in the vortex than perhaps other people, and when you're in the vortex, it just flies. It flies.
Yeah, it really does. It's like, wow, all the holidays are upon us, and before we know it, it'll be Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
Wow.
All the good stuff to look forward to. So you had a good week, I take it?
Yeah, I thought we would share some wins again.
So okay,
that's
sure.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let me think of some wins I had in the past week. Well, one is one of my dogs has kind of been a little sickly, and she went for her checkup, and everything seems to be stabilized and in a good, you know, as good as it can be.
Oh, so that's good. That's good. How old is she?
Good, yeah. She's 13 today, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, this was a good win. My computer froze.
And, that's interesting phrase.
Normally,
this is a good win.
This turns out to be a win. Normally when that happens, you know, you turn it off, you turn it on, and then everything's okay. But in this case, I kept doing that, and it wasn't working properly, and then I called Mac, and I spent the whole day with Mac on the phone, and they tried doing this and doing that. In the end, I had to take it in, and plus I had a bunch of documents that were open when this all happened, and I'm like, oh my God, like, did those save? Am I going to lose my documents?
Now, I have to applaud you. You're describing this as a win, and yet this doesn't sound like a win yet. This is good.
It is.
Okay.
So, yeah, then I'm like, ugh, I'm going to have to buy a new computer and all that kind of thing. So, anyway, so I brought it into Apple, and not only was it fixable, it was very fixable. It only cost, like, under $200 to fix, and all my documents were fine. Everything was fine, and they actually put in a new hard drive that was like a 1 terabyte, which is like huge as far as storage. And so everything was okay. Now I have an amazing hard drive where I can just store, probably I won't even use it all. And not only that, they said it was going to take a week, and I really needed it in like 3 days because I had a bunch of client papers on there that I needed to go through before some client calls. And the second day they had it, I got an email that it was ready. So,
well, you can't argue with that. That's really good.
So those are wins. Yeah, it was ready when I really needed it to be ready, not the week. All my documents were fine. Everything was fine. And now I even have a new and improved computer, and it was only a few hundred dollars.
So you can store all those videos that you've been meaning to watch but haven't watched, even though you downloaded them, right? Yeah, okay.
So I'm considering that a win because I didn't have to buy a new computer. I didn't lose any documents. It was done before I needed it to be done, so that was a really good win. So that's why
good.
That's a win.
That's good. I'm trying to think what
and,
was
you know,
a win.
Aside that, I got some really good parking spots this week. And, I took on a few new coaching clients, which was wonderful.
Yeah, that's probably your best win right there. That's good.
So I had a lot of really good wins. What about you? What wins have you had lately?
You know, I was thinking about it. It's not like I have this really stellar week where, you know, everything was hitting or anything like that. But
yeah.
I guess the big win for the week was nothing really bad happened. It was just, you know, it wasn't like a super wonderful great week, but hey, it was a pretty good week, you know.
did you have safe transportation during the week?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't have to go very far, but yes. Yeah.
That's a win. Doesn't matter.
Most of the time, my transportation is from the bedroom to the office because they're in the same building. But, you know.
But so you probably drove, I don't know, to the market or somewhere.
Occasionally, if I had to do some driving, yeah. But, yeah.
Well, that's a win.
But that just goes into the overall umbrella category of everything was pretty good this week. I mean, there was nothing really bad that happened. You know, a few frustrating things happened here or there, but they didn't last long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it was pretty good. And plus, we're nearing the end of the gardening season. Of course, my wife has a gardening business.
Yeah.
And I help her with that. And As you kind of see the finish line coming, that's the one good thing about a seasonal business. When you see the finish line coming, it's like, okay, one last push. Here we go. Now, of
So
course,
what's the week for that?
after that, from like November through March, I'll be spending all my time on the computer writing software for the business. But at least we're getting to the point where I can do that. Because it's actually a project I've been working on or trying to work on for like the last, oh, let's see, one, two, three, four to 5 months, something like that. But because I've been doing other things, I do her books and I help her with marketing and I've been kind of answering phones and stuff like that. It's amazing how much time all that takes away from the time that I intended to spend on programming. And programming requires tremendous concentration. I mean, you need to remove all distractions because there are so many things you're trying to keep balanced in your head, and you're remembering four things that you're working toward, and you're doing this over here, and you just have to focus like crazy when you're doing it. You can't possibly do it when you're answering the phone every 10 minutes. It just doesn't work. So even though programming is not my favorite thing to do, it really isn't, I am looking forward to the fact that after we're done for the season, I can actually focus. I will have all the distractions will be out of the way, So that's another good thing to look forward to.
Absolutely.
And the
Absolutely.
big reason to get excited is that the reason I'm doing this the software project in the first place is that it will automate a large number of things that we've been doing manually for years, and in the process,
Nice.
make the business much, much more efficient.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great.
And in fact, honestly, my goal for next spring is for my wife and I to have nothing to do. Because we got it all so well
Everything will be
organized.
fully automated.
The teams will all be in place, the management will all be in place, they just go out and do all the stuff, and we'll just sit back and say, hey, cool, this is good. Life is good.
Well, we also have a question
Oh, okay.
from Matthew. I guess Matt is short for Matthew, and he is starting a new business, and he
Congratulations,
wants to
Matthew.
know from a law of attraction point of view, what could he do to make it successful? Prepave this business for being a successful business.
Well, first of all, congratulations for taking the first step and deciding to do it. That puts you ahead of approximately 90% of the population that will never take the risk. I'm not kidding. That's about where it is.
You mean like a lot of people get really good ideas and whatever, but they never.
Oh, there are lots of people get ideas, but literally only about 10% of the population ever tries to implement it and turn it into a business. Yeah. So he
I
gets a
never knew
lot of
that.
kudos
That's
for that.
good.
Oh yeah. And you just like when you started your business, you were, kind of running against the odds.
Oh,
But
I
yeah, because most people just don't even try. They don't take the risk. And then you actually have, and I have too, because I've had successful businesses. You also have beaten the odds in another way because according to the Small Business Administration, I'm not quite sure these numbers are actually accurate. Approximately 95% of all businesses fail within the first 2 years. And you and I have been both been going for more than 2 years.
95%?
Yeah, according to that. Now, I think
Wow.
that's actually overstated myself, but that's what
Yeah, that sounds high.
they've been
That
preaching
sounds
that number
high.
for years. So I'll stick with it for now. But the
Yeah.
point is, we beat the odds. And one of the reasons we beat the odds is because we know the law of attraction. So Matt's actually asking a very good question, but the first thing he needs to do is to reach around with his hand and pat himself on the back because he's taking the steps. He's taking the steps. That's
Yes.
really, really important.
That's true. That's true. And I would also suggest to him to make a list of all the things that have to happen to make the business successful. Like from the very beginning thing, whatever that is, to the biggest thing. Like just make a list of everything that has to happen to make it successful, as well as what would make it successful after it's set up and running. Like how many clients do you need? What has to happen? Like all that good stuff. And then just focus on all that. Focus on what you want, on how you want it to be, on what you want, on what you want, on what you want, in a very high vibration way, in a positive way. And that way, you'll be in a high vibration about this business being successful.
I'm going to suggest one qualifier to what you said. And the qualifier is when you're working out this list of all the things that have to work, you can actually get yourself depressed writing that list. And so in order to avoid that sensation, because you certainly don't want to feel that way, because that's going to undermine what you're trying to do from a law of attraction perspective. So instead of focusing all of your attention on what needs to happen, I would focus a large amount of time on what you want the final result to look like. And actually, there are some who say, don't even worry too much about how you're going to get there. I mean, yes, when you launch a business, you do need to know certain things that need to happen. But you also don't want to get caught up in the terrible hows, because if you try to figure out, well, how am I going to do this, and how am I going to do that, and how am I going to do that, all of a sudden you're in a negative vortex. You don't want to be there.
Because those are the resistant thoughts, the
That's right.
how.
Yes.
How is it? When is it?
So it's actually better to dream about, the general result. What does the business look like after it's reached its success level? You're looking at
Well, that's a good.
success level one. What does that look like? That's what you want to paint out.
Yes, but I also want him to attract all the beginning parts he needs too. And a really good process that I like to tell my clients is there's a sentence that I don't know how this is going to happen, but I want, and then
Yes.
blank line. So, I'm not, whatever kind of business, like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I really want 5 employees working for me. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I really want X to happen, and I don't
Yes.
know. Just do like a whole thing like that, so you can. It kind of cuts out that resistance. Like it kind of doesn't let you ask the how or the when or who. It just lets you enjoy the feeling of something happening that you want to have happen.
And also, I'd say don't be afraid to dream and dream big. Dream
Yes.
literally, here's the gauge I found. Dream as big as you can believe it can happen.
Absolutely.
You don't want to dream beyond what you believe. If you're trying to dream bigger than you believe that can happen, you're going to undermine yourself. So it has to be something you believe is going to happen, or believe that at least has a very decent chance of happening. But dream the large dream instead of focusing on the really small dreams. Make it as large as you
Yes,
can.
I mean, I kind of wish we knew what kind of business it was, because maybe we could offer more suggestions. But even what we're saying is kind of enough, at least to start.
Yeah, I mean, it almost doesn't really matter what the business is, because even if we knew what it was, we could still, we, I mean, you and I could kind of conjecture, well, you could dream about doing this or that with it. But ultimately, that doesn't matter. What matters is what he would dream about it, and how big or how moderate size or whatever he believes it could actually get to. He has to believe it.
Yes, and like you said earlier, like don't get caught up in, well, gee, how's that going to happen?
Yeah, you
Because the minute
definitely,
you
the
do
moment you
that,
ask
you're
that
putting
question,
yourself in that resistance.
absolutely, yeah. The moment you notice yourself asking that question, it's time to change the subject. I'm not kidding. It's at
Well,
that
I like to
moment.
just say, well, if you're asking a question, then just refocus on what you want.
Yeah.
Get off that how is it going to happen platform.
And if you're kind of treading water on that, maybe rephrase it as what you desire rather than what you want, just because want can tend to have a negative context to it as well. I want that and I'm not getting it. So turn it into what you desire and make it, desirable,
Yes, or like that little sentence I said before, if you start going into what you want in the business and your mind starts going, well, how's that going to, then just say, well, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I want
Yes.
this. I
Yeah,
don't
I
know how
like
this is
that.
going to happen.
I like that phrase a lot. I don't know how this is going to happen, but this is what
But
I'm
I
looking for.
want.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's exciting. That's exciting to start
It
a new business.
is.
And I wish Matt well. Hopefully he's listening.
We both do.
And take what we said and put it to use, because it works, and it's a really good place to be when thinking about something you want to manifest.
And here's another law of attraction thing. His question is perfect for the next stage in our discussion of asking it as given.
Oh, okay.
Because we're up to chapter 10. Remember last week we finished chapter 9. Chapter 10
Yes.
is subtitled The 3 Steps to Whatever You Want to Be, Do, or Have. This is where all the stuff starts. So
Yes.
perfect timing, Matt. Well
Yay.
done. So let's read from the book. Chapter 10, The 3 Steps to Whatever You Want to Be, Do, or Have. The creative process is conceptually a simple one. It consists of just 3 steps. Step one, which is your work, you ask. Step two, which is not your work, the answer is given. And step three, which is your work, the answer which has been given must be received or allowed. You have to let it in. That's the part where we're talking about with resistance, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because the moment that you do anything or think anything or, you know, conjecture anything that has any level of resistance to it, that's when you're in trouble.
Yep.
So let's go through the steps one at a time. Step one, you ask. That one's actually pretty straightforward, but let's read the paragraph anyway. Because of the wonderful, absolutely. Diverse environment in which you are focused, step one comes easily and automatically, for this is how your natural preferences are born. Everything from your subtle or even unconscious desires to clear, precise, vivid ones results from the contrasting experiences of your day-to-day life. Desires, or asking, are the natural byproduct of your exposure to this environment of fantastic variety and contrast. And so, step one comes naturally. Well, the book agrees. It's easy. This is the easy part. So, okay, we know what we're going to ask for. We know that Matt's going to dream his biggest dream that he can believe that can happen, and that's what he's asking for, okay?
Yeah.
So, step two. Step two is where the universe answers. Step two is a simple step for you because it is not your work at all. Step two is the work of the non-physical, the work of the God force. I haven't heard that phrase from them before, the God force.
God force. Mm-hmm.
All things that you ask for, large and small, are immediately understood and fully offered without exception. Every point of consciousness has the right and the ability to ask, and all points of consciousness are honored and responded to immediately. When you ask, it is given every time. Now, that's going to create some resistance, and some people are going to say, well, I didn't get it every time.
Right, yeah.
And I guess that's one of the reasons you and I have a radio show, because, you know, a podcast, because that can be extremely confusing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So let's dig a little further. Let's find out what the book has to say about it. It says, your asking is sometimes spoken with your words, but more often it emanates from you vibrationally as a constant stream of personally honed preferences, each building on the next, and each one respected and answered. That's a really good sentence in there. I'll tell you why. It talks about two things. It talks about emanating from you vibrationally, and it talks about personally honed preferences. And preferences, I think I may have mentioned this story to you before, but I'm going to reiterate it, tell it again. There's a guy who is a doctor of some sort of behavioral psychology. I can't remember exactly what. But he is a researcher at, I believe, UCLA. And he studies people who have had traumatic brain injuries, particularly those who have had traumatic brain injuries to that part of the brain where the emotional centers lie. So in other words, these are people whose emotional centers in their brain, it isn't acting properly. It's not working in many cases.
Right.
And one of his, I know I've told this story before, either to you or Joel, but, you know, so if audience members have heard this before, you know, bear with me. This is important. One of his favorite things to do with his subjects, with the people that he studies, is to invite them out to lunch, which is a very friendly thing for a researcher to do, don't you think? And he always leaves it to them to decide where to have lunch, which is kind of sadistic, as you'll find out in a moment. Because as it turns out, when someone who has a brain that has been damaged in the emotional center and they're asked where do they want to have lunch, the answer will go something like this. Well, I have heard about restaurant A down the road. They've got really good food, but they're you know, getting a reservation there takes weeks. That's probably not a good idea. But there's also restaurant B over across town. But that's a long way to go. I mean, it's a really long trip. Now, there is restaurant C, but they don't really get very good ratings. Restaurant D is kind of popular, but the only problem with that one is it's only natural food. And if you don't like natural food, that's probably not going to work. You know, restaurant, and they'll just go through this list, endless litany of restaurants. They can't make a decision. Why can't they make a decision? Because the emotional centers of their brains have been damaged. And it requires an emotional aspect of the brain in order to express a preference. So this whole bit about personally honed preferences is key, because the one thing that is required in order to have a preference is an emotion. And that's why you and I talk all the time about how important it is to feel good.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because when you're feeling good, this constant stream of personally honed preferences they're talking about tends to be a positive stream of preferences.
Yes. Yes.
And so you're tending to attract the kind of stuff that you want into your life.
Yes, and like I said before too, which is always great to remind everybody, is when Abraham Esther Hicks says pretty much the reason why we want what we want is because it's going to make us feel better. We think it's going to make us feel better.
We think it will, right.
Yeah, so when we deliberately keep ourselves in a state, in a vibration of feeling better, of feeling more excited about life, then we can't help but attract those things we want that will support us feeling better.
And that's what they're stating here. They're promising, point blank. Here's the next paragraph. Every question is answered. Every desire is given. Every prayer is answered. Every wish is granted. But the reason that many would argue with that truth, holding up examples of unfulfilled desires from their own life experiences, is because they have not yet understood and completed the very important step 3. For without the completion of this step, the existence of steps 1 and 2 could go unnoticed. So here we go. Step 3. You allow it in. Step 3 is the application of the art of allowing. It is really the reason your guidance system exists. It is the step whereby you tune the vibrational frequency of your being to match the vibrational frequency of your desire. And in the same way that your radio tuner must be set to match the frequency of the broadcasting station you desire to hear, the vibrational frequency of your being must match the frequency of your desire. And we call that the art of allowing. That is allowing what you are asking for. Because unless you are in the receiving mode, your questions, even though they have been answered, will seem unanswered to you. Your prayers will not seem to be answered, and your desires will not be fulfilled. Not because your wishes have not been heard, but because your vibrations are not a match, so you are not letting them in.
Yes.
And that's the crux of it, isn't it? That's why we get so confused about this really, really simple thing. Why doesn't it seem to come true? It's because we aren't allowing it in.
Yes, yes. And when they said that your vibration has to be like the vibration of what you want, that's where when you're in a state of resistance with those questions of when's it going to happen, how's it going to happen, then you're not in the vibration of that.
That's right.
You're at a vibration against that, against whatever it is you want.
In fact, this is probably one of the hardest things to learn at first. But if you think about it, most of us will say, well, I thought of something and I held it in my mind and I let it go and it didn't come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. You know, I did what I was supposed to do and it didn't work. So this stuff doesn't work. And my reaction to that is, and then what did you think?
Well, right, they stayed in the, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working.
Yeah. Well, even if they didn't stay in that, even if they just did, you know, the thing, think about it, let it go, what did they think about after that? Were they thinking about something that was congruent with it?
Right.
Or were they thinking about something that worked against it?
Yes.
Were they talking about something that worked against it? If their friend asked them what it was that they were thinking about, did they dare to say, I was trying to attract something? And he asked, what did you attract? And you say, well, you know, I don't really know that I could actually get there. Anything that you do like that, you're basically working against your own thing. You basically put out one prayer and then the opposite of it.
Yes. Yes. It's like, well, one of our past episodes, we were talking about relationships, and I told you I got a call once from somebody who wanted coaching. And they said they wanted to attract a relationship. And then they followed it by saying, well, I tried the whole law of attraction thing a while ago and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So just by statement, I realized, I don't know where you heard about law of attraction, but obviously whoever it was from didn't know what they were talking about, because law of attraction is always responding to you. It's not just when you're thinking about something. It's always. So he kind of had a little bit mixed up view about how those 3 steps work, like you were just talking about.
Yeah, and I think most of us get that here.
And then after a quote didn't work, he stayed in that vibration.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they actually kind of talk about it here too, because this is where they bring in the concept of every subject having 2 subjects. Remember that one?
Yes. Yep.
So let me read it. Every subject is really 2 subjects. There is that which you desire, and the lack of it. Often, even when you believe you are thinking about something that you desire, you are actually thinking about the exact opposite of what you desire. In other words, quote, I want to be well, I don't want to be sick, unquote.
Yes.
How often do we say that? Let's be perfectly honest. I know I've done that. Was I realizing at the moment that I said, I don't want to be sick, that I was contradicting I want to be well?
Probably not. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it.
Exactly. Next example. I want to have financial security. I don't want to experience a shortage of money. Same thing. It's the exact same problem. First, you put out there the financial security, then you put out there having a shortage of money.
Yes, and the reason why whenever you say don't about something, the universe hears it as that's what you're saying you do want.
Yeah.
I don't want this or I don't want that. You're basically saying that's what you want.
Right, yeah. The way I had it explained to me was the universe doesn't understand negation.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
mm-hmm.
understand no. It doesn't understand do not.
Because,
and actually it makes sense when you think about it, because all that is all that is not is not. In other words, all that is. All that is does not include the concept not.
Right.
All that is just is. So how can you possibly have an all that is that incorporates not? Well, it doesn't.
Yes. And it's interesting because a lot of times we're talking about with a client, I'll say, well, what do you want regarding X? And the first few things I'll say, well, I don't want this, I don't want that. And then I stop them and I remind them, wait a minute, you have to rephrase that, because by saying you don't want this or don't want that, that's what you're saying you really want. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they kind of get it, and then they rephrase it to what they really want.
Right. Yeah, which is obviously the most important thing, because you've got to phrase it in the positive. That's the way Louise and I like to say it. We want to phrase it in the positive, instead of in the inverse negative.
That's right.
Because that inverse negative will trip you up every time.
Right. Yes. And I think it's what you said before. It's that a lot of people just don't realize they're doing that.
No, of course not.
And then once you bring it to their attention, they're like, okay, now, I didn't realize I was even doing that.
The funny part, David, is, and I know you probably run into this as a coach, is you'll get somebody who acknowledges that, and then they'll do it in the next sentence.
That can happen.
It's almost like life gives you a comedy track, a laugh track, right?
Well, all these practicing all this really does take practice.
So it does.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah.
It could take a little bit of time before you kind of get certain things.
It's actually a good reason to have a coach, because a coach can help you to refine your habitual way of thinking about stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which is why you're in business.
Right. Yes.
Not that you have to have a coach. I mean, I did it without a coach, but certainly it's easier if you have
it
a coach.
It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. I will pose one idea to you, though. I wonder if perhaps the messages stick better if you do it without a coach. And I don't mean to undermine your business or anything like that, but I just wonder if you're putting it on yourself, I'm going to make sure that I keep myself positive, and then you trip up and then you correct yourself and so forth. I wonder if it actually makes the lesson stick better when you're doing it yourself.
I don't think so from the people I've talked to.
No?
Because most of the people that do call me have tried it on their own.
Hmm.
And then after a few coaching sessions, they're like, oh my God, I never got it like I do now. Like, there's just something about having that extra explanation in the moment that helps people go, oh, okay, yeah, now I get it more now. So that's, from my experience, that's what I would say about that.
Okay, all right. I was just thinking, I guess, about my own experience where I didn't really have a coach to go to anyway, but I would actively try to reach out to other people and, try to get them to be positive with me so I could, have somebody to do it with. And I finally realized I was going to make much more ground if I just did it myself. So I did.
Yeah. But I guess it just varies, person to person.
Yeah, it probably does, like everything else.
But even when I listen to, some Abraham Hicks videos, I can listen to the same video and then get it a little deeper each time I listen to now I kind of get a little bit more. And then I'll hear it a few months later and go, now I really get it. So it's just kind of interesting.
I will say one thing about the videos and audio tracks from Abraham Hicks. It is a little bit disconcerting at first, because Abraham, speaking through Esther Hicks, doesn't speak the way you and I would speak.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
For instance, if they're talking about, giving affirmations or something, they'll preface every new affirmation with "I love, I love, I love, I love," and it becomes very monotonous. You know, you and I would not do that in conversation, but that's the way they do it. You know.
Yeah.
And I might say, "I love going to the park. I love flowers. I love trees and dancing," and and we start listing stuff like that. But they'll say, "I love going to the park. I love trees. I love flowers. I love dancing." And it's a very constricted way of talking, but that's the way Esther Hicks translates what she gets from Abraham. So it can be a little bit unnerving at first. Why I usually recommend sticking with the book instead of the videos at first. But the videos are great, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that can be a little bit of a stickler thing up front.
I think it also depends too, like if someone's very new at Law of Attraction, understanding and hearing about it, and they just start watching those videos, they may certainly not get it. And thus, it would help if someone explained some things first.
Yeah.
Like kind of what you were saying.
Yeah, I think so. I know it was a complaint my wife had about Esther Hicks the first time she heard her. She just didn't even want to stay in the room. She just got up and left because it was so frustrating to hear, the stilted way that Esther Hicks talks when she's voicing Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear Abraham's explanation of it, it actually makes some sense. Because Abraham's, according to Abraham, is a stream of beings, of non-physical beings, that are all feeding information to Esther Hicks and these thought forms, and Esther's translating them into English. I mean, when you hear what she says and you think of it from that perspective, it actually kind of makes sense. I mean, some of these, you can find these videos of these, what do they call them, rampages of affirmations or something like that. And you can almost imagine, like, there's a different spiritual being giving every single affirmation in the list. And so they seem disconnected in a sense. They're all on the same topic. You know what I mean? They're all on the same topic, but it's like, this from this angle, this comes from that angle, this comes from that angle, and this comes from that angle. Whoa, holy cow, it's coming from all over the place here.
But for me, though, when you understand where Abraham Esther Hicks is coming from, and then you listen to the videos or watch the videos, then you really do have a lot of really good aha moments.
Yes.
The information is really good.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, YouTube is a wonderful resource just to have all that. Plus, you can actually order stuff directly from Abraham Hicks' website. So, I mean, between the two, I agree. Yeah, it's great to have the stuff
questions
here.
People ask when they're in what she calls the hot seat.
The hot seat, yeah.
Pretty much like we could all relate to all the questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love one thing that Abraham said in the early part of one of the recorded sessions, because they record all the workshops.
Yeah.
They call them the Art of Allowing workshops. And near the beginning of one of the workshops, Abraham said, go ahead and ask your first question. Doesn't matter what it is. We know what the answer is because it's always the same answer.
What are you focusing on? Yeah,
And they do it creatively. Yeah. I mean, they always have a different way of approaching it in each workshop, so that's why each one's a little bit different and has different ways of approaching it and so forth. But still, yeah.
I like when she says, "You humans are."
You humans, yeah, right.
Because I guess, like you said, there's blocks of consciousness coming through.
Do you get the impression, like I do, that we are kind of like the entertainment for the other side?
Well, I never thought of it like that, but kind of.
It seems like it to me. I mean, I don't mean that in a deprecating way, but it seems like the other side gets a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm and excitement and goodness and fun out of watching what we're doing.
That's interesting. I never thought of it like that.
Especially
when you listen to Esther.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting that from. I mean, you listen to the stuff that comes out of her mouth. It's like, okay, so like, are we in a glass fishbowl or something? Anyway, we're way off the topic.
Their advice is always good, though. The advice is good.
Yeah, it's a little bit different perspective, but you have to kind of expect it based on where it's coming from.
Yes.
So anyway, let's get back to this because we're on an important chapter, and we kind of got off on a tangent here. But this okay. is the three-step process is the core of how all this stuff works, so it's pretty important. Now they just talked about every subject being two subjects. What the subject is and the lack of it. And they go on a little bit in more detail here. They say the creative process is occurring whether you are consciously aware of it or not. Because of the variety and contrast of your experience, continual new preferences are being born within you, and you are, even without knowing it, broadcasting them as requests. And in the moment that you broadcast a preference, source energy receives your vibrational request, and by the law of attraction offers immediate responses which you must then align to vibrationally. That's actually pretty dense, isn't it? That's pretty dense material right there. Because they're actually describing a number of things going on in, or I should say, beyond the three-step process. Ask, receive, and let it in. They're talking about how when you are putting out a request, let's read it again. Because of the variety and contrast of your experience, continual new preferences are being born within you, and you are, even without knowing it, broadcasting them as requests. And the broadcasting they're talking about is when you're vibrating it. Your request is a vibration. All thoughts, all sounds, all any kind of dynamic that a human being involves in is vibrational in nature.
Yes.
And the broadcasting they're talking about is the emanation of that vibrational wave, if you will. And in the moment that you broadcast a preference, it says, source energy receives your vibrational request and by the law of attraction offers immediate responses, which you must then align to vibrationally. Now, that part is really something, because what it's saying is it isn't enough to put out a vibration, hopefully about what it is that you want rather than the lack of it. But then also, after the source, you know, the energy field of everything, of endless existence, when it receives that message, it basically bounces it back to you in a form of some kind that we recognize as something coming to us, whether it be an idea or a thing or whatever. That's the law of attraction aspect of it. And then which you must align to vibrationally. Well, that phrase almost indicates that most of us, when we put out there, this is what we're asking for, the moment later, we are no longer in alignment with what it is we put out there. Which is true, that very, very often happens. So what they're really saying there is, once you put it out there, stay true to that vibration. Stay true to that thought. Stay true to that emotion. Stay true to that thing that you're putting out to the universe. And by staying true to it, now the source energy can echo something back to you immediately that matches that vibrational level.
Yes. So like if you're very excited about something you want to manifest, stay there. Stay in that excitement about it.
Yes. Which is not easy.
That's the high vibration.
It's not easy at first. Because it's so easy, on the contrary, when you're not in a normal state of high vibration, it's easier to put out something that sounds really good and then fall back into where you were before, the state of lethargy or whatever it is.
Yes. Yes, and that's why when I talk to my clients, I always ask them, like, where in general, like, you know, if there was a 1 to 10 vibrational scale, where in general are you? Because the lower numbers would mean a lower vibration. And if in general you're at a lower number, that's affecting everything vibrationally.
Which is why it's so important to believe in this big dream that you're going to dream.
Yes, yes. And when you're at a higher vibration in general, then, of course, that's affecting everything in a good way.
Oh, yeah.
You're in a high vibration. You're excited.
Well, it's easier to believe stuff.
And you're in a more of allowing mode than when you're in a low vibration.
It took me a long time to understand how it was I was disallowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it didn't feel like I was disallowing. It didn't feel like I wasn't really in touch with what that would feel like anyway. But I certainly couldn't detect anything that said, well, it's not like I can feel that I put out there that I want the, you know, a nice big paycheck coming in and I'm in some way blocking it.
So how did you figure it out then?
I did a lot of listening to Abraham Hicks and other gurus, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand how it is that I could be counteracting my own desires.
Right, right.
That's why I emphasized it so much during the show, because that was a big, big thing for me. The idea that I need to stay consistent with what it is that I am putting out there if I want to attract it.
Yes.
I mean, if I don't want to attract it, then I definitely do not want to be consistent with it. But But that's true. It's true. I mean, that's actually the other side of it. You find yourself in a kind of a bad mood, and you worry like, "Oh God, I'm putting out all this bad stuff to the universe. I don't want this stuff to happen." Guess what? You can change your mind.
That's right.
It's the good news. You don't have to stay
Refocus.
there, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I love about knowing all this too, is that at least for me, like bad moods are very rare, because you just don't allow yourself to be there.
Ultimately, that's the state you want to be in. I can't say that I'm always like that. I have plenty of bad moods happen. The
But you
first
don't. But I bet you don't let yourself stay in them for too
that's it.
long.
That's just it. You don't allow yourself to stay there.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
You notice it and you want to get out as soon as you can. Because
That's
after a
right.
while, thinking about the stuff and practicing it and trying to apply it and so forth, you become very sensitized to it, you know?
Yes.
To the point
Yes.
where, you know, you notice yourself not only just putting out a bad vibe because you're feeling down or depressed or whatever, but you say, "Oh God, I gotta get out of this. This is really, really bad. I
To
gotta
me, though,
change this
that's
now."
yes, but to me, that's like huge.
Oh,
Like
it is.
to really get that and experience it and realize, you know what? I always have a choice. I don't have to stay in this bad mood, and I can, in a real way, gradually get myself out of this bad mood.
Oh yeah, I guess what I'm trying to express though is the idea that when I'm in that bad place, in the past I would have kind of dismissed it like, "Oh, it's not a big deal," and I just kind of stay in the bad place because I was just too lazy to get out, you know. Now it's like, "Oh, it's like touching a hot burner. Oh God, I gotta get away from that fast."
That's right. Yes, that's right. But that's a big thing to get. It's
It
wonderful.
is, yeah, it is wonderful. It almost is hard to quantify for a win of, you know, what's the win of the week, but that's always a win every day.
Absolutely.
You
Yeah.
know?
If you had said, "Oh, on Tuesday I was very low vibration, but by the end of the day I was feeling really good," I would definitely say that's a wonderful win, for
Yes.
sure.
Although, as I told you at the beginning of the show, actually before we started the show, I think I said, you asked me what the wins were for the week, and I said, "I can't remember any because I'm trying to stay positive." Which is another, actually, it's a good part of it because it literally is true. You can't focus on the bad stuff that happens if you're in a good place. Unless you want to
You
leave the
don't
good
allow you.
place. If you want to leave the good
Right,
place, then you
you
can,
won't
but
allow yourself,
no. So I just don't even want to focus on any of the bad stuff that happened. I want to keep my mind as far away from it as humanly possible.
Right, because when you do, you're allowing yourself to be at a higher vibration.
Right. Yep. And the longer you stay at that higher vibration, that's when all the good stuff happens.
right, the more you're in an allowing mode, receptive mode, allowing mode
It's one of the
to what
reasons
you want.
that you ask the question every week about what the wins were, because it's important to kind of keep score of what those good emotion things are.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, the two reasons why I tell my clients to actually keep a win journal, which, you know, every day you just open up your win journal and you just ask yourself, "What wins did I have today?" And big wins and small wins equally as important to keep track of, is because what we focus on is what we attract. So they'll actually see, as time goes on, they're attracting more wins every day,
Yes.
which is wonderful. And it's also a great tool, if you're in a low vibration and you want to raise yourself, you could just go to your win journal and read a week's worth of wins, and before you know it, you're going to feel a little better. So it's like a really good practice to get into.
Yeah, it's a reinforcement mechanism.
And even if you don't have your win journal, because you don't always have it with you, and you just want to do something to raise yourself vibrationally, then just ask yourself in the moment, like, "What wins did I have lately? Oh, this good thing happened. Oh, that's right, that happened and that happened." And before you know it, you've done something to deliberately help raise yourself vibrationally.
It's a great thing to do if you have a partner or a spouse.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't,
That would be
you can
fun. That
still
would be
do
fun.
you can still do it yourself if you don't have a partner or a spouse. But if you
Oh,
do
of
have a partner
course.
or a spouse, it's so much easier. You work in agreement with your spouse or your partner, and you say, "Let's set aside time every single day to count our blessings, count our wins." Louise and I call it the three gratitudes. You know, the three good things that happened today.
That's good.
And we do
that's
that.
Great.
We try. We don't do it every night, but we try to do it every night, and try to. It's a way to help each other. Like if one of us is feeling kind of stuck in what's going on and all that,
that's
you know,
right.
we'll help the other person to kind of crawl out by. Oh yeah, remembering there are good things that happen today.
Yes.
It's amazing too. Every single time that we do that, especially if we have been in a bad place, we're surprised again that there were good things that we forgot about.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting?
That's right.
We forget over and over and over again that good things happened until we go through the exercise.
That's right. As a matter of fact, a lot of times, if a client's in a bad way because they're going through a hard time, then I'll say, well, even though you're going through a hard time this past week, what wins did you have?
Mm.
And true, you know, sure enough, they come up with them.
Yeah.
They come up with wins. And it's like, it's a good reminder, like, even when you're going through something, wins are still happening. They still are happening.
I think I told you a week or two ago about my friend who I've been trying to help out. He actually works for our gardening service. And I asked him how things were going at one point when I was giving him a lift home. And he started off with one bad thing that happened, and which he usually does, and it's usually like a negative rampage.
Right.
But then he named like four or five things that happened in a row, and he said them in like a flat voice. And I had to almost stop the car and look at him and say, oh my God, you have all these good things going on. And he says, yeah, you're right, I really do. And I don't think he realized it until he actually said it.
Yes, that's right.
So it shows how important it is to do this exercise, to actually just remind yourself what good things happened today.
That's right. That's because even with, it's always a choice what we're focusing on. So
that's
it kind of
right.
gives you some practice. It kind of gives you some practice focusing on some high vibration experiences instead of what might be someone's go-to experiences, which might be their more negative, low vibration things they usually think about.
Which is where we tend to go, isn't it? That's where humans tend to go.
But that's just because there are a lot of people who just are practiced doing that.
That's right.
Like, this
is about
that and try this.
It's all right. It's about adopting a new habit. And it's
that's
a good
right.
habit. It's a habit that leads to your dreams coming true. It's the best kind of habit to have.
Yes.
In fact, that's what the rest of the chapter here talks about. Let's just finish it up. It says, now you hold the key to creating your every desire. Once you understand that your thoughts equal your point of attraction and that the way you feel indicates your level of allowing or resisting, you now hold the key to creating anything that you desire. It is not possible for you to consistently feel positive emotion about something and have it turn out badly. Just as it is not possible for you to consistently feel bad about something and have it turn out well. For the way you feel
mm-hmm.
will tell you if you are allowing your natural well-being or not. That's what we've been talking about.
Yes, for sure.
Now, although
for
there
sure.
is no source of sickness, you may offer thoughts that disallow the natural flow of your wellness, just as you may offer thoughts that disallow the natural flow of your abundance, although there
mm-hmm.
is no source of poverty either. Well-being is constantly making its way to you, and if you have not learned thoughts that slow or restrict it, you are experiencing it in all areas of your life. It doesn't matter where you currently stand in relationship to anything you desire. By paying attention to the way you feel and by directing your thoughts to better-feeling thoughts, you can again achieve vibrational harmony with the well-being that is natural to you. So that's good news. I mean, even though most of us have been, you know, acculturated and socialized into, you know, staying in a negative state, we don't have to stay there.
Yes.
And by
right.
and by changing our mind, by changing our emotion, by redirecting ourselves to better thoughts, we can actually get back to that being in alignment with who we really are. That's good news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's playing 24 hours a day, every day, is the news. And the news is not a good reminder of how to think.
No, good news is a good thing to stay away from.
That's what I'm saying, because so many people are glued to the news, and it's just reinforcing, oh, God, this bad thing is going on, and this bad thing is going on, and then they can start using that in their own life, and they start thinking about things in their own life that isn't good, and you know it, yikes, help.
In fact, there are many people who say, well, I have to stay informed. I have to know what's going on. And the obvious answer to that is, well, okay, but even if you have to stay aware of what's going on, why do you have to inundate yourself? Because
that's
notice
right.
what happens with a news forecast. Forecast. Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's a forecast. But with a newscast, notice what happens. The entire newscast is all based on negative stuff that happened during the
that's
day.
Right.
It's wars and,
that's right.
and murders and thefts and corruptions and all kinds of stuff. And then in the last 30 seconds after an hour-long newscast, they'll give you the good news of the day. Excuse me. Are you telling me that only 30 seconds out of 60 minutes were good and the other 59 and a half minutes were bad for that? That's a representation of the day? Sorry. Nope. Wrong.
I know. And
that's why you don't want to pay attention. Yeah. Well, that's why you don't want to pay attention to the news. It's crazy.
Like the way the newscasters a lot of times will talk about some disastrous thing. And they kind of give a little smile and then go on to the next thing.
Yeah, like, a little smile, right? We got you hooked now.
Something about it just doesn't, I don't know. I don't care to watch it too much. I mean, obviously, if there's some unfortunate crisis that I have to know about, that you know, then I will tune in so I can know what to do. But fortunately, that doesn't happen that often.
I do tend to stay away from the news during the week. And the only time I'll ever let myself kind of disobey that rule, so to speak, as if I'm, you know, on Facebook, I'm checking what a friend has written. I see some sort of news thing, and usually I ignore it. But every once in a while, I'll see something. I'll indulge myself for a moment just to see what's there. And I saw something. I'm picking on the left this time, but it could be the right. It could be the left. It's all over the place. It doesn't make any difference. In this case, I'm happy to pick on the left. It's not because I'm anti-left necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I saw a newscast piece about how in Europe there is a 75% decrease in insect life. And they're really concerned about this because they believe that this means that we have an environmental Armageddon coming our way, because many of these insects are like the bees that, you know, make the honey and so forth and, you know, propagate plant growth and so on and so forth. So if the insect life goes away, now you got yourself an environmental disaster. And I'm reading this thing, and of course, there's all the comments under the article, and everybody's saying, oh, my God, we got to stop this. I can't believe this is going on. Why do they allow this? Yeah, blah, 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 blah. All this really big negativity going on. And as I'm reading this, I'm saying, so how do they know what the normal level is? And that's the thing. You know, they assume that it must be a bad thing that's going on. How do they know it's a bad thing? I mean, how do the experts know? They don't. They never tell you that. You never notice that when the experts put out their scare headlines and so forth, you know, this terrible thing is going on. They never actually tell you how they know what the right thing is that should be happening.
No, they don't. Typically,
And that should be your first clue right there. If whoever the expert is on any subject, if they can't tell you what should be right about it and how it should work, don't trust the scare headline.
Yes. I mean, all I know is I go to sleep and I've just done my wind journal, so I'm at a raised vibration. When I wake up, I say morning affirmations, which starts my day off also at a raised vibration. And most people go to bed after watching the news.
Oh, God, yes. That's the worst thing you can do. Oh, that's...
And when they wake up, they're reading the morning paper.
Oh, God, no, please.
Which is low. So I'm like, no, stop it. But that, if you think of it, that's what most people do. They watch the news before they go to sleep, and they read the paper as soon as they wake up to catch up on the latest news in the morning.
And then they wonder why their colleagues at work can't stand talking to them.
Or why they're just feeling so low vibration.
Yeah,
actually,
that's really the bottom line. The vibration feels low. That why do they always feel miserable? Well, guess what? You do it to yourself.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. It's so much better to go to bed after recalling your daily wins, and it's so much better to start the day after proclaiming wonderful morning affirmations than watching the news and then reading the paper.
And by the by, if you're also one of these people who blames everybody else for your depressed state of being, it's time to rethink. Time to rethink, because you can have negative people in your life, and these negative people could be doing nasty things to you. But there are a couple things to remember about that. First of all, you get to choose who's in your life. The old cliche about you can't choose your family is really irrelevant in a day and age when you can leave. So, if you're one of those people who's saying, it's my wife's fault, it's my husband's fault, it's my kid's fault, it's my cousin's fault, stop. Just stop. And remember, you control everything you focus on. It's entirely up to you what you're going to focus on. Why not focus on something good for a change? You don't have to stay stuck. Because that's all you're
No.
doing. You're staying stuck, right? You're staying stuck in, it's all his fault. It's all her fault. It's all their fault.
That's right.
It's a
That's right.
lousy place to be.
No, refocus. Refocus. And like when you really do it, like this might all sound like very Pollyanna or whatever, but when you actually do it, you'll be like, "Wow, I do prefer how it feels this way. Wow, I do realize now more than ever that it is always a choice what I'm thinking about and focusing on."
It sounds Pollyanna just because it sounds like there's all the negative stuff is washed away and all you're feeling is positive. No. That's not what we're saying. If you're feeling a little bit better, it feels better. It doesn't have to have eliminated all the negative feeling. If you feel a little bit better, it's better.
And then from that point, you could feel a little bit better than the other little bit better.
by shifting a focus once again to something that's even
And
better than
so on
what
and
you
so
first
on.
did to. And just one little step at a time, reaching out for stuff that's a little bit better, a little bit better. That's where the whole thing about going for wins, looking for wins, that's what that does. That takes
It
us,
helps.
it's a way of distorting, not distorting, shoving aside all the negative stuff and finding something else to replace it with that feels better. And you do that enough, and it really does start to feel better. In fact, if you do it
That is
as
true.
a life habit, it becomes over time, it feels really better.
Yes.
And there's
Yes,
nothing Pollyanna about that, I can promise you.
No, when you experience that, you're like, wow, I really like how life feels now compared to before I started doing that.
So, as the book summarizes, we often refer to that non-physical part of you as your inner being or your source. It is not important what you call that source or energy or life force, but it is important that you are consciously aware of when you are allowing a full connection to it and when you are restricting it in some way. And your emotions are your constant indicators of your degree of allowing or resisting that connection. So that's why Dave and I are talking about change your emotions one step at a time. Because as you do that, you are allowing the full connection that you're trying to reach. Because that's what we're wanting. We want that full connection to source, because when we have the full connection to source and we're putting out positively, affirming what it is we want, not what we don't want, and all that kind of stuff, then we actually end up getting it. And life actually becomes even better.
Yes, because you're in a receiving mode,
You're
an
in a
allowing
receiving
mode.
mode.
By keeping yourself feeling better, by keeping yourself at a higher vibration.
And it really pays off too. The thing that constantly amazes me, David, I suspect you experience it too, is the serendipitous side of it. Because things end up happening and you say to yourself, how on earth did that happen? Even though you know what the result was, you still can't see how it happened. It just kind of happened. It's like, what?
Yeah, like
What?
when something seems to happen out of the
Out
blue,
of the
it's not
blue.
really,
Where did that come from? Well,
How
it
did that
came.
happen like that? Wow.
Yeah, it came from staying as positive as you can stay. And the more you do it, the more that kind of stuff happens. And it's amazing how often it happens. It increases the more you stay in that
That's right.
positive zone. The frequency of how often that kind of thing happens increases.
That's right. And even forgetting about allowing more into your life, life just feels so much better every day when you are at a higher vibration. Like that part alone is wonderful, you
It
know.
is. I wish we could allow more, but David, we're out of time.
Oh my goodness, okay.
Can you imagine? I mean, it just races through every time. We got about 10 seconds. Get 10 seconds. Tell people how to reach you if they want to get some coaching.
If anybody wants some law of attraction life coaching, you can go to lifecoachdavid.com and contact me through there. And if anyone has a question you want us to answer, you can just email me at david@lifecoachdavid.com.
Yeah, please do send the questions in. Those are fun to answer, and hopefully they're
Yes.
helpful for you too, so it works both ways. David, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Same here, Walt.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.